From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will commence a series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, and that will be followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning is found in Jeremiah chapter 16 and verse 20. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? One great besetting sin of ancient Israel was idolatry, and the spiritual Israel are vexed with a tendency to the same folly. Remphan's star shines no longer, and the women weep no more for Tammuz, but Mammon still intrudes his golden calf, and the shrines of pride are not forsaken. Self, in various forms, struggles to subdue the chosen ones under its dominion, and the flesh sets up its altars wherever it can find space for them. Favorite children are often the cause of much sin in believers. The Lord is grieved when he sees us doting upon them above measure. They will live to be as a great a curse to us as Absalom was to David, or they will be taken from us to leave our homes desolate. If Christians desire to grow thorns to stuff their sleepless pillows, let them dote upon their dear ones. It is truly said that they are no gods, for the objects of our foolish love are very doubtful blessings. The solace which they yield us now is dangerous, and the help which they can give us in the hour of trouble is little indeed. Why then are we so bewitched with vanities? We pity the poor heathen who adore a god of stone, and yet worship a god of gold. Where is the vast superiority between a god of flesh and one of wood? The principle, the sin, the folly is the same in either case, only that in ours the crime is more aggravated, because we have more light and sin in the face of it. The heathen bows to a false deity, but the true God he has never known. We commit two evils, inasmuch as we forsake the living God and turn unto idols. May the Lord purge us all from this grievous iniquity. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's program, Dr. Cairns commences a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In the ancient world, Colossae was an insignificant market town with none of the attractive features of a place like Ephesus. Yet in that place there was a church of believers in Jesus Christ, and it was to that church that the great apostle wrote one of his most outstanding letters. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will show that here we have a picture of a true New Testament church. May our hearts be encouraged as we see that, in God's sight, there are no insignificant churches or Christians.
Now then, let's turn to God's Word. We're going to read a few verses in the book of the Acts, and then the first two verses of Colossians chapter 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Or, quite simply, having believed, did you receive the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word from Acts chapter 19. And now the first two verses of Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. This morning I'll be directing your attention to these opening verses, and especially the second verse of Colossians chapter 1. The church in Colossae was the fruit of Paul's ministry in the city of Ephesus. When Paul was there for a prolonged period preaching the word and disputing with the Jews who came to oppose the word, we read that all the people, Jews and Gentiles, from the entire Roman province of Asia, came to hear him. We've read in Acts 19, verse 10, that this, that is, that period of disputation continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. One of those who heard that word was a man by the name of Epaphras, who received the gospel and was converted to Christ, and then went back to the Lycus Valley in what we know as Asia Minor, to preach the gospel. And in that work, he later came to be joined by another convert of Paul's Ephesian ministry, Philemon. Now, in the area of the Lycus Valley, there were three cities, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. And in all these three places, the gospel took root and churches were established. The local inhabitants of the area were mostly pagans. Though there were some Jews, it would appear from what we read in Colossians, and also from what we read concerning the general Asia Minor area from the second and third chapters of Revelation, that the Jews of that area had assimilated quite a bit of paganism, its philosophy and its practices, into their practice of Judaism. And it would also appear that these people then began to cause quite a problem for the Christian churches. As these churches were established, the transformed lives of the converted pagans and the missionary zeal which they manifested at Colossae not only caused the gospel to make inroads into the other cities, so that from Colossae the gospel went out to see other places evangelized, but it aroused the interest, perhaps the jealousy, certainly the activity of these Jews, Judaizers, who had assimilated so much of the paganism into their practice. These people began to insinuate their peculiar views into the church at Colossae. So much so that Epaphras had to pack up, leave the work, and hurry off to Rome, where Paul was imprisoned for the gospel, to get his help, because Paul was the acknowledged apostle of the Gentiles. And he, having long experience of fighting Judaizers of every kind and protecting the church from these assaults of the devil, would know what ought to be done. So he went to Rome. Hearing his report, Paul responded, and in response, he wrote, I believe, two letters. One is what we know as the Epistle to the Colossians, which was specific to the church from which Epaphras had come. The other is a circular letter, which we know as the Epistle to the Ephesians, but which was distributed much more widely over the area of Asia Minor. I think, for example, that those commentators are right who say that when Paul later in this Colossian epistle refers to the epistle sent to Laodicea, that Laodicean epistle is not a lost epistle, it is the Ephesian epistle, that circular epistle which was sent to the general churches of that area. So he responded by writing two very important letters. When you read Colossians and Ephesians, you'll find that they stand very closely related. There are many, many points of similarity, though there are certainly very important points of difference. It appears to me that Colossians was the first letter written. It was written specifically to the needs of that church, and then growing out of that, before Tychicus set off with that letter, Paul wrote the greater letter. By greater, I mean the larger letter to the churches of that area. Now, of the three cities in Epaphras' mission field, Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea, Colossae was the most insignificant. It had been rather more important as a trade center in earlier times, but its glory days were long past. For example, the editors of the Geneva Study Bible make the statement that Colossae was a fairly unimportant market town, easily the least significant city to which any of Paul's letters were addressed. So here is an insignificant little backwater of a market town, and yet the great apostle to the Gentiles writes one of his most glorious epistles to that very place. The reason is very simple. There was a true church of Christ there. And that church was under attack. And that church not only needed to be, but deserved to be preserved. You see, in God's analysis, there's no such thing as an insignificant Christian. And there's no such thing as an unimportant church. Anyone for whom God's Son has shed his blood, any church that he has set up and inhabited by his Spirit, and to which he has given the mission of proclaiming the gospel, cannot be insignificant. Whatever the backwater in which we're called to serve, however unimportant in human terms the surroundings in which we are called to worship, however remote or inconsequential to man our situation may be, we're called to do a work for God. Never forget that. Something we ought to remind ourselves of continually. I do this on a personal basis very regularly when I get into my study. And the realization, I'm not the most important preacher in the world, or the greatest preacher in the world, or among the elite preachers of the world. And our church is not the biggest or the best or the richest or the greatest or the most influential. But I stop to think that God should give to me and to this people any place at all in the service of the King of Glory is in itself a tremendous privilege. There's no such thing as an inconsequential or unimportant or insignificant church or Christian. I want you to understand that. Because I think that very often people get into a church and they settle back and they say, well, I don't count. Well, that's the devil's lie. I want you to understand that the only person who says that you as a Christian don't count is the devil. Certainly not the Word of God. It's certainly not the teaching of the gospel. It's not the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of the devil. And why any Christian should ever want to settle back into anonymity, doing nothing or feeling he can do nothing because of being misled into believing the devil, is more than I can fathom. This church, insignificant as it may appear, was worth preserving. It's for this reason that I think that the church in Colossae has a very special message for us to take to heart. Because, as I've said, we are small, we are inconsequential, we are facing attacks on the very heart of the gospel, just as this church was. Thankfully, not in our case from within the church, but yet we are surrounded by forces that would threaten and overwhelm us if they could. And this epistle, you'll find, is very beneficial, especially because of how it sets forth Christ. You see, the key to the Colossian epistle is holding to Christ the head. It is setting forth the centrality and the all-sufficiency of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.